What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief.
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Yay. Thanks
yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. Thanks. Good stuff.
All right. We have a quote, right?
Oh, my gosh. So Mr. Cam Mulford sent me this quote.
Oh, yeah.
People who are just tuning in, that is my boyfriend.
Thanks, Cam.
Yeah. I think he texted it to me while we were on the couch sitting next to each other. Let me pull it up. And he's like, yeah, this just reminds me of you and what you've done with your business and Self-Helpless and all that. And I'm like, okay, that's freaking sweet.
That's nice.
So here it is. A dream written down with a date becomes a goal. A goal broken down into steps becomes a plan. A plan backed by action becomes reality. This is from Journey Strength. That must be an Instagram or account that he stumbled upon or something. So
yeah, I love that.
Sweet.
Yeah, I love
Thank
that too.
You. Yeah, it's good and it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Everything that all the accomplishments, I guess, in the last couple of years started off with just like a list for mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
You know, a list and an idea of like a time frame. And just random ideas on, you know, phone notes or napkins or whatever. So
yeah.
It really is true. Writing things down helps you kind of see it and make it come to fruition.
Right? Yeah, totally.
I love a quote that just simplifies accomplishing things.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's just action
yeah.
behind intention.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What do you guys give us? Any stuff you want to discuss?
Any updates? Any segments? I have a defuck moment. So I started seeing a psychiatrist in addition to my therapist because things are going great. And she prescribed me something for the nightmares like a month ago, maybe a few weeks ago. And it was originally intended to be a blood pressure medication, and they started testing, this is what she told me, they started testing it on veterans, so people with like PTSD and like who are having nightmares, and they found that it helped them sleep better and like they didn't have as many nightmares.
Wow.
So she prescribed it for that and said to me, you know, we want to start you off on the lowest dose because if we go too high too fast, you know, your blood pressure could bottom out and you could faint. She goes, I've never had a patient faint before. And I said, well, okay. If you like, it's crazy.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. It's crazy how like if somebody just tells me, well, I've never seen it, I'm like, well, I guess it doesn't exist then.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, yeah, you have to yeah. hold on to that.
Yeah.
Well, and it was so gradual. Like for a week I took one a night, and then for the next week I took two, and at the end of the two or three weeks, I was like, this isn't doing anything. And she goes, well, let's just make sure it doesn't work. And so she goes, why don't you take three tonight, which is the maximum you can take. And yeah, and it was also the first day I started Prozac. So I don't know if that was part of it, but went to bed kind of late. I took the Prozac kind of late in the day, which I wasn't supposed to do, but that's when the prescription was ready. And so Kyle fell asleep like at like 2 a.m., and then I was just kind of laying there with my heart pounding. And I was like, this is just anxiety because I'm nervous about the new medication. So I was trying to like calm down for, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then at about 4 a.m., my heart was like, it felt like a regular beating. It was like there was an extra heartbeat in between my normal heartbeats. Yeah, so like twice as fast. And I was just like, okay, something's weird. I don't know what's happening. And I'm trying not to freak out. So I like got up and I started getting dressed because I'm like, I'm going to go downstairs and just like watch TV or do something.
Yeah.
And I got up and got like real dizzy and got worse. And I couldn't breathe very well. And so I woke Kyle up and was like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but my heart's beating really weird and I can't like get a full breath in. Like I'm gonna try. And he was like, do you want to go to the emergency room? Do you want to go to urgent care right now? And I was like, yeah, I think maybe. And so he gets up, he starts getting dressed, and then I just passed out.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And so like,
were you standing or sitting?
Like, no, I was sitting on the bed, thankfully. Good which Lord. Like, thank God. Yeah. I woke him up instead of going downstairs. Because if I had fainted going downstairs, like that would have been bad.
Oh my god.
So, and I've never fainted before, so to me I was just like, oh, I'm dying. I waited too long. I should have like woken him up earlier, and now I'm gonna die, because that's how it felt. Like, have either of you guys fainted?
Yeah,
it's horrible.
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh my gosh, you, like, it's weird.
It's like a weird sensation that rushes to your face, right?
Yeah.
It's really strange.
I did not anticipate it being like that. I thought you were just kind of like I just thought it was like, you know, falling asleep.
And scene.
Yeah. And instead it was like, I was sitting up and then I kind of came to and I was laying down and I could hear Kyle talking to me, but it was like I was underwater and like my body was numb, which was weird. And I was all sweaty and I was just like, okay, what's going on? And then for another like 2 hours, just kind of like laid on my back and like, but after that my heart felt better. So I was like, oh, okay, well, it's like throwing up. But you know, just is, yeah, it's very strange. So then obviously the next day I texted my psychiatrist like, hey, can I stop taking this? She's like, well, you got to wean off of it. So I had to take it for another couple nights, lower dose, but it was like,
wow.
Yeah. I was supposed to go see my family in Northern California with my sisters, and I just had to like not go because I just had to get off of it. But the Prozac seems to be going okay right now. I mean, we'll see. I'm on a low dose, so who knows what'll happen once I up it. But it's like the med stuff is so hard. And it's so tough because everything has side effects, and then you got to take something else for the side effects, and like it's just like this like whack-a-mole thing of like trying to figure out what works for you. And I know enough people who have gone through it who say like, oh, it's such a game changer when you find something that works that you want to keep pushing. But man,
trial and error, dude.
Oh god, I hate it.
Yeah
So much of life is trial and error, but it's exhausting. Even like comedy, I'm like, why do I have to keep sucking this long? Like, why was this the only way to get better, is to like have jokes bomb to get new ones? Like it's the same thing with antidepressants, and it's been frustrating because I've been home for like a week and I want to go do spots, but I also, you have to plan those things a week in advance, and I don't know how I'm going to feel in a week, and I'm trying to go to bed earlier.
Just focus on taking care of you and trying to like stabilize a little bit, because like, you know, it's like Kelsey with the birth control stuff, like all the trial and error and how fucked up it was, and now she's feeling great because she found something that works with her body. It's just going to be that, you know, with meds or what, you know, balance of that.
It
sucks going
that
through it.
Shit is so tough. We talked about it a lot with Sophia Alexandra on their most recent episode.
Yeah.
Where, Jesus, I mean, getting cancer and then like going through chemo and all the treatments where it's like, okay, well, this will do one thing to help this, but then it makes that worse, and it's just seems never ending.
Yeah,
so
now she's still on like 14 different meds, just to, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, that's how I feel a lot of the trial and error with my like career choices. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've tried so much stuff and then hated so much stuff, which led me to the next thing that I either loved or hated for a little bit, you know? And it's just, finally I feel like I'm in the right direction. And that took 6 years, yeah. You know? So yeah. It's like, it does not happen overnight. But now after all that, I'm like, oh man, I'm finally like seeing the light. It took a really long time, and I felt so lost and like upset for so long that it's like kind of weird. It's kind of weird, like feeling good.
Yeah. When it makes you appreciate it. I mean, it's like with dating, like when you finally find the person, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'm done with that other stuff, but also so grateful that it brought me to this point where I was ready for this.
Yeah, time in the trenches.
Absolutely.
Yes. Do it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is some trench time.
What about you? I actually have a recommendation based on one of our episodes recently. We had the amazing Kathy Heller on, who is the host of the podcast called Don't Keep Your Day Job, which Delaney had been raving about forever. And I don't know, I think maybe our listeners too, sometimes you get like a little reluctant to try new podcasts because you just like, you know what you know, and you've got your little group that you listen to. And,
and there's so many. It's like overwhelming. So many. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's hard to remember because I wanted to listen to it too, and I just kept forgetting.
So many. And she was such a phenomenal guest, and I really felt like we went to some sort of, like I said, like a TED talk or an inspirational like retreat having her on. And I've started listening to her podcast since she came on ours, and I really, really recommend it to our listeners because I think it's totally in the same kind of vein as what we do, but like our podcast has heart, but hers is like all heart. It's like heart on fleek. Like it's a lot of heart. I mean, ours
is super specific.
Yes, exactly.
It is a Valentine's Day cake.
Yes, it is. Like we can be, you know, much more like kind of snarky and sarcastic. And I mean, we're comedians. That's what we do. But she's really like, her mission is helping people find like what their passion is and how to make that their job the way that Delaney has. Yeah. And she just had Emily McDowell on her podcast. And wow, that episode was incredible. Yeah. And just how she started. Kathy had mentioned the story about that, like, she left her job at, was it like a,
I think she was in marketing or something for a while.
She was like high up on the ladder, and she left to do what she loved, which was like drawing and writing and
doodling.
Yeah. And she made this funny Valentine's Day card that then Urban Outfitters saw and ordered like 30,000 of. And now she's this like, has this huge, amazing company. Yeah. And that episode was so good. And I just really recommend it for anybody that wants like a feel good podcast.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
It is so inspirational. Yeah. It is so inspirational because every interview is with like a different entrepreneur in a different field. And like Kelsey said, it's like all heart, all love, all good shit, you know?
Yeah.
And it just makes you feel like it's possible because they break down their steps for you, and their steps are so normal, and there's so much trial and error, and they're very open about like what didn't work and what did. And I just remember listening to that several months ago and just plugging in what I was doing with my own business. And yeah, there was some, just some great practical tips in there. And the craziest part is that you really don't even know, you don't know how it's going to unfold until you like really start doing it. Mm-hmm. And like, even with our podcast, we started the podcast, and the opportunities that we've had because of the podcast, they're opportunities that we didn't even know existed because
we never dreamed.
We were not in that world. We weren't doing it yet. And you just don't know who's going to see it, or you just have no idea until you actually start doing it.
Yeah.
And it's just one small step at a time. And like the way that Kathy talks about, like, the world would be a happier place if everybody was doing something that they enjoyed.
Yeah.
And they didn't dread Mondays, and they didn't live for the nights and weekends. It would all be a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also just nice to listen to something so positive and uplifting.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just with everything that's going on, like how you have to even limit your intake of the news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is truly a relief to hear something that's only positivity and light.
Yes.
I mean, even like, I watched like a rom-com recently, and I was like, oh, this is nice. Like, I should take a break from The Sopranos. Like, this is too much.
Yes, I just binged 3 rom-coms in one day. I was like, The Holiday, A Lot Like Love, and Guess Who?
Yes.
And I just felt so like fed, you know what I mean? Like, I needed that. And I think we forget, especially working in the entertainment business, there is there's a lot of like unknowns, and there can be a lot of negativity, and just like feeling like you're going it on your own sometimes. And damn, to have a podcast that is just like only gonna make you feel good is really nice. So yeah. Anyway, we're not sponsored by her or anything like that. It's so funny. I know sometimes podcasts sponsor other podcasts, but she's not sponsored by us or anything. Yeah, vice versa. I just genuinely have fallen in love with her podcast since having her on. So
dude, it's great. I'm telling
people
you.
Know.
Yeah, between Don't Keep Your Day Job, I love the Minimalist podcast because of all their great practical tips. And just, the word minimalist, I don't really like telling people that I'm a minimalist, because everybody like has this weird view that it's like you're gonna walk into my home and it's gonna feel like a hospital with like white walls and decorations, and that's just like not what it is to me. It's like it's all about simplifying my life to where I'm just focusing on the stuff that I really enjoy doing and getting rid of all the stuff I don't like doing. It's really just as simple as that, and it can start with your stuff, and then it definitely bleeds over into other areas. So yeah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah, Don't Keep Your Day Job, the Minimalist podcast. I love a podcast called Profit Boss with Hillary Hendershot. She's a great like financial guide. Nice. I think she works specifically with women, but there's like a lot of good tips on there for finances. And of course, like Dave Ramsey is the man with finances. Like I'm taking a lot of his tips right now for my own stuff. But yeah, between all those, I started listening to the Rich Roll podcast, which is really great for like health and wellness and inspiration in that way. So like between those four is kind of like where I'm at right now. That's, and it's like a really good combo.
That's nice.
And it feels good. And I'm slowly incorporating like episodes of other ones, but I have to kind of like, it's hard because it can be overwhelming when you're just listening to so much content.
Right. Well, and everybody has a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
There was somebody I followed on Instagram who has just, you know, a flawless Instagram because she's like an influencer, and she and her husband got married really young, and their photos of them are just always them looking gorgeous and perfect at a sunset. And she has a podcast with a friend of hers, and I was like, I'm going to see what this is about. And I just listened to it, and the podcast isn't that good. But I was just so curious, like even just what their voices sounded like, where I was like, are you really this happy? Like, I just want to know that you're people, because these photos are ridiculous. You're just in Italy every month, in a different swimsuit. Like, how is that possible?
The amount of swimsuit, I will say, I'm like, how can people afford 59 different swimsuits?
I know.
I've had the same swimsuit for like 4 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, you only wear it like 5 times a year. They don't go bad very quickly.
Anyway, they don't go bad very quickly. They're gonna mold or something. I guess if you leave them.
Well, what's been a helpful tip for me, because I am super overwhelmed when I have like too many options and choices. I just shut down, and I'm like that with everything. And that's why I was so reluctant to even start listening to podcasts for so long, because I did not know where to start. I did not start listening to podcasts until maybe 6 months ago or so.
Wow!
Like, we had a podcast for an entire year, and I've never listened to a podcast.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So what helped me is just also just searching for a topic that you're interested in that day or that week, and go from there.
Yeah.
And if you end up liking it, maybe you'll listen to a few episodes of that person and it'll lead you to something else. But like, if you're like me and you're like, I don't even know where the fuck to start, just start with something that you're like, I would like to learn more about, you know, this topic, you know,
or look up a person you like,
because
people will end up as guests on other people's podcasts, and then you might listen to them on something, and that's how you find out you love the podcast.
Totally.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, is it my turn to do an update of some kind? I was going to talk about my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, which is out on DelaneyFisher.com. Yay. It's faux free. There's like a suggested donation if you can, but it's fine if you don't. It's like, you know, if you like want to throw a couple bucks the way that you like download something on iTunes, that's cool. But if not, no judgment. I haven't really talked about it yet or promoted it yet because I was drowning in Dicks by Delaney orders for the holidays. So I haven't even like done much for this or talked about it yet. So I got a lot of really nice emails from you guys. Thank you for anybody who's watched it and sent me some feedback. I just kind of want to talk about the process of that whole situation because people had questions about like, how did you start this and what happened? So what happened was a couple years ago, my mom told me about like this forbidden love story basically between her and her first cousin, and I was like, holy shit, this is great material, can I please talk about this on stage?
Yeah.
And she was not comfortable with it. It took a very long time. I think it took about a year for her to let me talk about it on stage. And the reason she was telling me this is because she was going to be going to Europe to live with this person. So she basically said like, this is the situation and this is why. I'm like, what?
Oh, wow.
Okay, so that was the start of it.
And how long ago was that?
This was probably a few years ago now.
Okay.
That I think about it. This was 3-4 years ago. I'm not sure. But about a year later, I had been writing stuff secretly about it because how can you not? That's just gold, right?
Yeah.
So I've been writing about it and testing things like very generically on stage, not talking about my mom because I wanted to respect her wishes and everything. And then I finally convinced her to let me talk about it on stage as long as she was not present. Like she couldn't be there and nobody that she knew could be in the audience. So I started doing that. And you know, it ended up going pretty well. And what I was shocked to find is that after almost every show, I'd have people come up to me afterwards saying, by the way, my parents are cousins. By the way, wow. I made out with a cousin at so-and-so's wedding. Everybody, it got to the point where every single show, multiple people would come up to me and talk to me about the cousin stuff.
Wow.
Somebody had a personal story about a cousin relationship. And I was like, holy shit, thought this was just me and my family in a way. Like, I thought it was way lower percentage. And so from there, started finding out that like, oh, this is happening everywhere and nobody's fucking talking about it because everybody is ashamed. We're all weird about it as a country.
Yeah.
From there, I decided to basically convince my mom to let me like film a special on this. And this is when I was wanting to get out of stand-up and I knew that I had to like make a project in order to be okay with leaving.
Yeah.
And so I knew I wanted to make it about this because a lot of feedback and then comedians were like, yeah, you got to do something with this. This is like a unique thing that you have. And I'm like, all right, this is going to be the project. Not my A material, but I figured, hey, why not? And so I filmed... Okay, so what I did is I tried to find real cousin couples who would speak on camera about their relationship. And we went, me and my co-producer, Corey, we tried like the deep dark web to find people.
Wow.
I mean, we were in like support groups for cousin couples. We were in Facebook groups, like private Facebook groups, saying, does anybody want to be on camera about this? It's going to be very tastefully done. It's not going to be making fun of you guys. It's going to be about like bringing like positivity to this topic.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to do it because they were so scared.
Oh.
You have people who've been married for like 30 years who are first cousins who haven't told any of their best friends that they're first cousins, that nobody knows. People have been disowned by family members and all this stuff. Keep in mind, all the people we're talking to, very normal people. People, I mean, like, that's the thing is like, in this special, I really break down a lot of like stereotypes and like debunk a lot of like myths that people believe about cousin couples and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, nobody wanted to put their face on camera, but everybody wanted to contribute their story to get the word out.
Oh,
so
cool.
I found, and nobody has been able to do that successfully. We saw like old production companies and stuff had tried in the past like 5-10 years because we could see other posts in these groups.
Oh, yeah.
And these projects never were made because nobody was agreeing to be on camera. So I wasn't the first person to be like, hey, does anybody want to do this? So I didn't want that to stop me from this project. So what I did is I had all these real cousin couples write in their love story to me. And I told them I was going to basically cast actors to play them. Mm-hmm. So you'd get your story out, but you'd, you know, you'd remain anonymous. Everybody's like protected. We'll change the details about stuff so nobody could like trace it back to you. So that's what we did. We hired actors and gave them these stories to portray, and they did an amazing job. Yeah, it was a really crazy experience because of all these people who are in hiding. You know, yeah. And it's kind of, it has a lot of parallel with like the LGBTQ community in a mm-hmm. way, where like people were like in hiding for a long time, and then, you know, coming out was a big deal. And like, these are people who haven't come out yet. And it's super interesting.
Yeah.
And we're like one of the only countries that still criminalizes it and bans it. Like, we're kind of late to the game in accepting these people. And so, yeah, I think it's a mix of interviews with these actors who are portraying real people. And it's a mix of me talking about it on stage.
It's so good. It's so funny. And I love how much you learn from it. Like, I walked away wanting to talk about like cousin couple statistics with people, because it's just like, oh my God, did you know that like genetically it's not even that much different? Like, you just gave such great information, and it was so funny. Like, it's a great special. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. The genetic stuff. Because that's the argument everyone uses is like, oh, well, genetically,
your kid's going to be messed up.
Your kid's going to be messed up. Your kid's going to have disabilities. Yeah. And the fact that it's, what, a 1%
difference? It's a 3% chance of having a child with any kind of issues that like that if you're not related, and a 4% chance if you are related.
That is so interesting.
Yeah. So you have a higher risk of having a child with special needs if you're like over the age of 35. So those risks are a lot higher than marrying and having a kid with your cousin.
Yeah, that is
awesome. I think like two of my favorite lines are when you talk about, what was it, King something?
The guy
looks like a finger with a tooth.
Yes.
That is so funny. And then when you're talking about like the pros of two cousins dating, you're like, your family tree will be nice and straight up and down like a bamboo shoot.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Fucking hard. This is such a funny visual that like you just cut all the branches off the tree. And it's just like one up and down pole. That's your family tree.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. So I just wanted that's kind of the process I took. And then found out like a lot of the support groups out there are not very supportive. Like, there was an administrator who like banned me from the site because she thought I was gonna like, I was trying to like take advantage of these people.
Whoa.
It was it's been a crazy process, but there were so many roadblocks and I didn't want to let any of them stop me. So I just figured out a way around it. So yeah, everybody in the special is an actor because nobody wanted to be on camera, and I'm hoping that will change over time.
Yeah.
Maybe this will.
I mean, honestly, before I watched your special, I was like, ew. And then after I finished watching it, I was like, I mean, that's not
like a deal. Like, call my cousin.
Yeah. It is crazy how much it changes your opinion because you're just like, well, I guess that's not really that weird, is it?
Yeah.
Well, I could have had so many more options.
Yeah.
What a great way to have a small wedding.
Oh my God, yeah. A way to spice Christmas up a bit, you know?
There you go. Yeah, so that's it. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. It's out there on YouTube, Delaney Fisher on YouTube, and DelaneyFisher.com. I'll be uploading it to probably Facebook and Vimeo and stuff too soon. So I'm just going to put it out there for people to see it.
That's awesome.
Whatever.
Yes. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So we got the meat for today.
The meat, you guys, we're talking about kids, children, little people. Should we have them? Should we not? Do they make us happy? Do they make us miserable?
People understand in the context of little people that you're talking about kids, not actually little
smaller.
If somebody edits this with you being like, little people, do they make us happy? Should we have them? I'm like, oh god.
Small humans.
That's still
small humans is good because kids aren't people.
Yeah,
not yet.
They're people not fully fleshed
you
out.
Gotta earn that.
Anyway, we're talking about kids. You know, we've talked about it a little bit here and there on the podcast, but we want to do a whole episode devoted to it. We're gonna rattle off a couple statistics as far as like birth rates and stuff like that, but I think the majority of the episode is gonna be us and how we feel, you know, from our different perspectives about it.
Yeah.
And the arguments for and against it. So I did a little bit of research, and the birth rate is dropping. I believe last year it was at a 30-year low, and we're heading towards like an all-time low, I believe.
Really?
But it's increased for women over 40. So it's interesting. So people our age are having not having kids really quite yet, and then when they're a little bit older. So that all makes sense to me because I feel like that's... that's exactly the point of view I have as of right now. And there's plenty of arguments to have them and plenty of arguments not to. But I just found something that was really interesting. I found an article about happiness on Psychology Today. And just a couple things. You know, becoming a parent may be a mixed blessing, etc. Okay, so with lower incomes, lower income households shell out $175,000 on child rearing costs. This is just for one child. And families with higher incomes spend about $372,000 per child.
Wow. Like from the time they're born?
From like probably birth 18? Until ever. I mean, I don't know.
That's not that bad.
I don't know how they're getting that rate.
I mean, it's a lot, but
it's a lot.
I mean, I guess over 18. What is that per year? What's the math of that?
I don't know. I'd have to get my calculator out.
So maybe
we'll
try.
We'll talk before we get into the happiness stuff. Maybe talk about the arguments for and arguments against, which I'm sure we've all heard.
Well, financially, that's a
financially,
huge.
Yeah. Arguments against financially. Yeah. Stress. Yeah. Right. I mean, your relationship with your partner.
Yeah. Maybe. Changes to your body.
Changes to your body.
Yeah.
Time, career. Energy. Career.
Yeah.
So let's go, getting less sleep. Like we've all heard it. We've all heard these overpopulation.
Yeah.
The fact
climate
that
change.
Climate change.
The fact that we're all going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The fact that there's so many children who don't have homes already and we keep producing new ones, stuff like that. We've all heard those.
Risking having an unhealthy baby.
Yep. Exactly. All the genetic stuff. And then arguments for, you know, for a lot of people, it gives their life purpose.
Should we have you do this part?
Sound a little dead inside as you're saying that.
Arguments for, I mean,
let Taylor do this.
Baby
part.
Socks, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, what do you take? Arguments for.
They enrich your life.
There you go.
They flesh you out as a person. Yeah. They make you better. They take you outside yourself. They make you less selfish because you can't be anymore. They carry on your legacy.
Oh wow. My
Somebody
God.
Gets to take your name or your husband's name, whatever you decide, because that's up to you, or your partner's name, or you just give them a whole new name, whatever you feel like is important. It's a new person. Give them a new last name. You could do whatever the fuck you want. It's your baby. You made it. You get to name something that can talk. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of power, I feel. Yeah. You get to make your parents grandparents if they would be good at that.
True.
Not everybody's parents should be, but
somebody
some people
can take care of you later.
Somebody can take care of you later as your kids. Yeah.
Or as Steve Hofstetter's bit goes, you can just pay with that money that you're saving, that $372,000 you're saving, you pay somebody else's kid to take care of you. That's a pretty great
you had your time. This is my turn. They're really, really cute. Everybody talks about having kids is like the hardest, most amazing thing they've ever done.
Yeah. Instagram likes.
Oh, I mean,
is that not number one on the list?
Sure.
They're so cute. I mean, for me, I went through my entire teenage years, I wasn't sure if I wanted to have kids. I was like, I don't know, childbirth sounds scary. That hurts. I don't want to do that. Like, maybe it'd just be better if I don't have them. For a while, I wasn't sure. And something happened in the last few years, hormones, I don't know, where I was like, I gotta have a baby. Like, I have to have one. I'm not ready yet, but I gotta do it. And it is nuts, like, hearing those statistics about how the birth rate is at an all-time low, because you see that. I mean, look at us. We're in our mid to late 20s, and none of us are like, yeah, let's have one next year. We're like, let's wait, like, at least 5 more years.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad, by the time he was my age, had me, and in the next, like, year, they were gonna have my sister, you know? Like, my parents had all four of us in their 20s. Right. Like, by the time, by the time my mom was 30, maybe she had my youngest sister when she was like 31, but yeah, I mean, that was just the norm. I mean, my grandma had my dad when she was like 19. My mom's mom had her when she was 19. So it does seem to be inching up with every generation to where, I don't know, maybe our kids are just going to be like, we're not going to procreate anymore.
Yeah.
at least not on purpose.
Yeah. But, oh, I meant to say all these stats are for the United States. I didn't do like worldly stats. So
yes, that's a good point to note. Yeah. So, I mean, it's so hard because it's such a personal thing. Like, you've talked about how you don't have that maternal instinct, like, you know, we were talking about this on the Patreon where we were talking about thinking of a baby on your chest makes you, Delaney, kind of
feel
panic.
Very anxious.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which for me, it's like I can't think about it, because if I do, I'll be like, I could afford it. Like, that's the thing that makes me want one so bad. Like, something in me just biologically is like,
I also like my reasons for having. For having a kid, if I want one, I feel like my reasons are so dumb and bad that until my reasons get better, I shouldn't have them.
What are your reasons?
My reasons. I'm very curious to know what it would look like. I want to see what a little mini me would look like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that really a good reason to produce another human being? I guess, like, part of me really wants to know what the experience feels like. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I'm curious about what it feels like to be pregnant. I'm curious I want to know what it feels like to hold your kid. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, is that a good reason? Like, I also kind of am curious about what it feels like to go skydiving, but I don't think I want to go skydiving. You know what I mean? But I'm curious about that exhilarating feeling.
Yeah.
And then I think it would just be cool to teach somebody stuff that, like, so intimately, you know, intimately, I guess, like,
I don't think that's not a bad reason.
Yeah, I guess that's a fine reason.
They're just not good enough.
I don't feel like they're good enough, because I understand what you're saying.
I wasn't passing a judgment. There's not good enough reason.
Exactly. No, I sounded like as like the arbiter of childbirth.
No, you don't get one. Not enough.
I was trying to repeat back what I thought you were saying.
Because I've also worked with kids, and it's really easy for me to like go and get a childcare job and teach that kid something.
Right.
So I'm like, this is all stuff I could probably, I don't know. I go back and forth all the time. But like the ultimate reason that I feel like is a decent reason is like I would love to try to make a really great human being a person who's gonna help the world and change the world. That's nice, but also I could take a kid that already exists and probably help do that. Mm-hmm. You know, so like I talk myself out of it back and forth all the time, and I know that it could just be I'm really not ready, but the way that Taylor feels when she's like, oh my god, I need one so bad, I don't have that feeling yet.
I'm
almost 29. But I have that feeling about dogs.
Right. And I don't have that.
I need a dog immediately in my life. And I see babies and I like them. They're cute and I like holding them.
But you don't want that to be your responsibility all the time.
Yeah. Well,
there's no party that's like, I need one of these to be at my house always. You feel that way about dogs, which I feel like flipped. I feel that way about dogs, where I'm like, dogs are so cute, I want to pet them, but I don't want to bring them home.
Interesting.
Like, that's a lot of, you know.
That's a lot of work, but a baby,
human life
that I feed with my body, that sounds better.
Yeah, no, it's completely different. But for me, like, the return on having a kid, I mean, I just, like, I don't know. The reasons you described are, like, what I go over when I'm thinking about adoption versus having them, because I do, on a logical level, feel like, for me, this is not a judgment on anyone else, I think, you know, I want to have my own baby so bad, but part of me is like, like, is that selfish when there are plenty of kids to adopt? Like, there's part of me that's like, would it be better, should I adopt instead? And all the reasons I don't want to is like, you know, once you find your person, you're like, I want to see a mixture of me and my person. I want them to grow up and be like, hey, they do this like you, and they are you, like you want all those things. I, you know, I feel like the same reluctance about being pregnant sometimes, especially with like our careers, where it's like, oh man, like it's going to change my whole body, that's going to be weird hormonally, I'm going to be all over the place. But then you still want to experience that because that's supposed to be amazing too.
Yeah.
If you don't get sick every day, which is also a possibility for 9 months, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I want to have like every part of having a kid sounds great. The part that really scares me is like when they're teenagers and they hate you. But besides
thinking that far ahead?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
No, I think you have to.
Oh, yeah. No, you should. It's just good for you that you can like see that scope. I'm just like, oh, God, a day at a time. Like, I can't even picture that far ahead.
Yeah, that's another thing is like I like babies. Mm-hmm. But once they start getting older, I don't like them so much.
Right.
Like I could picture myself having a little baby. I think that would be kind of cute and fun and interesting. But as soon as they're in like grade school and they like, they're walking around, they need a lot of, they need a lot of stuff and things, like they need a lot of, you know, you got to do their art projects with them and just all that kind of stuff, which I'm sure is great because you love them. But I'm saying this as, you know, somebody who doesn't have a kid and I don't have those emotions quite yet. Yeah. It just seems like a lot. And this sounds really shitty, but like, I really like my life.
Yeah,
I
don't think that sounds shitty.
I'm super happy. Mm-hmm. And I think a big change could either go one of two ways. Either your life gets better or it doesn't. It gets a little worse. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm so afraid of is like right now I've never been this happy with what in all the areas, like in all the areas. And I feel like I don't want to mess with that. Because if I do, what happens? Like,
that makes sense.
There's so much unknown with having a kid that I don't know. I'm just really, I feel like I've worked so hard to get to this point where I'm really feeling good about everything.
Yeah.
That putting in something like that could really put a wrench into my plans.
Yeah. I feel like a good gauge for deciding to have a kid might be, does my life feel like it's getting worse the longer I don't have one? You know what I mean? Like it's causing you pain to not have one.
Yeah.
So that's when you should.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
As opposed to everything's great. Let's see how this goes, you know?
Right.
But who knows? I mean, again, everybody's so different and some people are so sure and other people aren't. And I think waiting if you're not sure is very responsible. And I don't think that's shitty. There's like this weird pressure put on women, like if they don't want kids, like there's just this weird judgment of like, well, you're supposed to, or there's something wrong with you, or like biologically you're supposed to want that. And I've met so many women, especially living in LA, like there's so many women who don't want kids or need them, and it doesn't mean they hate kids, it just means like for them that's not what fits into their lifestyle.
And like people's comments to women about kids in my experience can also make you feel like, what am but me by myself, am I not good enough? Do I have to have create another human being for me to be worthy of being a woman who is alive today? Like it almost pisses me off sometimes where I'm like, why can't I just be myself doing my own thing, trying to help contribute to the world, you know? I don't know, it's just interesting. I think everybody has like their own interests and purpose and whatever. And some examples I've seen, and it's been a handful throughout my lifetime, where I see people make a decision to have a kid because they don't like their life and they're hoping a kid can make their life better and give them more meaning. And sometimes that does, and sometimes it just adds some more stress and stuff. But I guess maybe some of the examples I've seen haven't been stuff that I can kind of compare myself to, you know what I mean?
Have you guys had that self-destructive thought before? Because I have, where like you're like having just a bad moment in your life and you think, oh man, sometimes I just wish I'd get pregnant right now just to like totally change everything.
Yeah.
Like the same way where sometimes you're like, oh, I just think I'm going to move. Like, you have those feelings of, what if I just move to a totally different city or start a new job or whatever. Like, I think that the kid thought, especially the older you get, becomes a more like, well, you know, some people just have a kid to like shake things up and like change their life.
Yeah.
And I would never do that. But like, I've had those thoughts before where I'm like, oh, I just feel like escaping whatever my current situation in life is right now.
Right.
That's stressing me out. And basically like camouflaging it with another one.
Right.
Which is, I think I'm kind of learning this more and more that I do feel like I have an addictive personality, but with like adrenaline and kind of like impulsive changes. And so thankfully I'm not going that far like with kids, but I've done that a lot in life where I like make a decision to like feel something and it's like not the right decision.
I want to have them for the right reasons. I want to have them because I feel ready to handle the good, bad, and the ugly with having a kid. I don't want to just think like, I'm kind of bored, what could be interesting, or like I want it to be about that kid. And not about my situation of trying to like spice things up or make things better or make, I don't know. I want to feel like really ready.
Yeah. It's like starting a new job. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, having a kid, but you also have all the other jobs you still had. Like you still have your real job and then it's another job. It's like taking on a second job and it has to be like a passion project.
And it's full time overtime.
Yeah.
Like, it's like every hour of the week, that's your job.
Is
raising that child.
Yeah. Like think about doing Dicks by Delaney while you were still working your day job and how tired you were, but you were like still excited to do Dicks by Delaney because that was your passion. I feel like that's kind of how having a kid is, where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, I have to do all these things, I'm so stressed out, but like this thing I'm so in love with, like it's worth it. And that's kind of how I see it, is like when I have a kid, I just want to be able to devote the time to it that it deserves. Like I want to be able to treat it like just the most amazing project. Because like, oh my gosh, my mom was like very creative when I was really young, and she didn't do everything perfectly, but she was really creative and fun, and I have a lot of cool memories, and my dad too, of them mostly just being creative and doing special like things that I would remember. And I've even just like reading to us at night, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to do that with my kid. Like I want to be able to do that kind of stuff.
That's sweet.
And like you said, like creating a person who you feel is gonna make the world better, and not just take up space, but really like light up space. It's like, that's so cool. And selfishly, you want to feel all those things people talk about where you're like, oh, I felt a baby kick and it was the most love I've ever felt in my heart ever. And you're like, I want to feel the most love in my heart I've ever felt ever. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, I've seen couples who are like, they both reach their career goals. Like they're happy. They're financially stable. They've had a lot of great experiences together and they're like, they feel really ready to bring another person into it. And they've like reached that level of contentment with each other and on their own. And I'm like, that seems like an ideal situation.
Yes.
And then I've seen other people who are like, well, I hate my job. He hates his job. We don't know where we're living. What's going on? Don't care. Let's throw a kid into the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that freaks me out too. So it's really interesting. The reasons behind having a kid for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I just want to make sure that I'm doing the best, making the best decision for myself and my lifestyle.
Yeah. There's also the argument within, if you know you want to have kids, of when you want to have kids, which is a whole other, Reddit subcategory that I've gone down that rabbit hole of like reading people's experiences who had kids like in their early 20s versus their late 30s.
Right.
And that they can argue for both sides and tell you the cons of both sides. And I mean, I'm smack in the middle of that right now, being 29, of like, okay, do I want to push this another 5-6 years or like, should I hop on it?
Right.
And it's interesting to hear all those different arguments. There's a lot of health things involved, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You have to worry about, which is a bummer.
Yeah. And then we were talking about on the Patreon, because I've been struggling with this, and I'm not trying to make a decision right now, but I'm just, as like I approach 29, 30, you know, I'm kind of thinking about it. And I ended up just searching for podcasts, like for, you know, should I, shouldn't have kids. And there's so many great discussions as far as like just search for stuff and hear it from all the different perspectives. Mm-hmm. But there, I told you guys about one woman who, did a podcast episode about answering her questions of her former self. Like she had had the kid and now she's answering questions she had before she had the kid. Yeah. So sign up for Patreon if you're curious about that conversation. I won't hash it out all over again. But it was really interesting.
Super interesting. Yeah.
And just all of the questions before she had a kid sounds exactly what mine are. Yeah. And then the way she answers them is like, you're never going to know what it's going to feel like. So stop trying to compare it to anything. It's not comparable to anything. And it's like that. It's like the best, hardest thing that you'll ever do, but it's good hard. Like you don't mind staying up till 2 a.m. with your kid who's sick, you know, like because you love them. So it kind of like what you were saying, like you love, you know, my passion project. So it doesn't feel like work all the time.
Right. And it's so hard as type A people to accept, like you can't prepare for it.
Yeah.
There's nothing
that
you can read that's going to prepare you.
It's kind of a relief to hear that.
Yeah.
I've been doing that with my cats. Like, well, I'm such a good cat mom and I love my cat. So like, does that mean it would make me like a really good mom? And like, does that mean I need a baby or does that mean that I'm like good with cats? Like that's all I need or whatever. And I enjoyed you sharing that and just being like, I won't know.
Yeah.
You know? And there's no way to know for sure.
Yeah. And plenty of people do that. I found this within an article on The Atlantic where they were talking about, you know, deciding whether or not you should have kids. And they were talking about Cheryl Strayed had that advice column. Did you hear about that? It's a woman who wrote Wild, but she had this advice column called Dear Sugar. And somebody wrote in, it was a man, actually. It was a 41-year-old man who was on the fence. And he was like, I like things like quiet and free time, spontaneous travel, pockets of non-obligation. Like, those are all very valuable things. Mm-hmm. And Cheryl wrote back that like everybody has a sister life that they're never gonna know, which I was like, ooh, that's so like,
yeah,
ooh, that's so like, I love thinking about that stuff, like that what if you had just done this, if you had just zigged instead of zagged, in both a good way and a bad way. And she said the clear desire for a baby isn't an accurate gauge for you, and she recommended thinking deeply about your choices and actions from the stance of your future self. In other words, think about what you'll regret later.
Ugh.
Because no matter what you choose, no matter what you choose, there's going to be a loss, which I thought was really,
it's so true.
Like there is no decision you are ever going to make in life where you're like, well, this is 100% it. And there's nothing bad on this side and this side's all bad. That was easy. Like, it's like booking travel, you know, like all the flights suck.
Yeah.
Where do you want to sleep on the plane?
Yeah.
Do you want to get in super late and be stressed?
Yeah.
Do you want to take a red eye? Like, there's no great option. You just have to choose what's going to be the best for you personally.
I'm envious of people who know 100% they don't want kids. And because in that case, it's like they really, some people just make that choice and never look back and they really don't think like, oh, what if they're just like, no, I didn't
super
want
super jealous
ever.
Of those people.
I had a self-helpless listener write in or comment on the Facebook, because I think maybe after the Patreon episode that we talked about kids, and she like said, Delaney, I've never had kids, never regretted it, like it's okay to feel that way. I'm like, thank you. But I don't know what I'm gonna regret. I don't know. But when I guess when you like, when you picture yourself 50 years from now, right, and it's like Christmas time, and
I definitely
like,
picture kids.
Who's the family around that's coming to see you? I guess like you can do stuff like that, but also I don't know. But about 50 years from now on just a regular Tuesday, what do you want to be doing?
That's a good
You know
point.
What I mean? Like,
that's a good point.
Yeah. I think because some people would think about it and go, I'm going to go to Bali with
exactly.
my partner, you know, like I'm not going to want, I don't need kids around. Like, I don't need to worry about that for Christmas. That just sounds like a bunch of obligation, which I can totally appreciate. Right. But then if you're someone like me who grew up with my dad was just so all about having a family and like making memories and stuff. And he, you know, kind of, I think, instilled that in us probably, or at least in me. But one of my sisters doesn't want kids and the other two do and are sure about it. And I'm sure about it. But I, you know, again, went back and forth. But like, I'm so excited for all of it. Even like watching movies where people are grandparents. I'm like, oh, my gosh, if I have kids, I could be a grandparent someday. Like, you're like, oh, that'll be fun. And like, oh, you get to see him go to prom. Like, you get to do this. Like, that'll be great. Like, yeah, wow, there's going to be a lot of shitty stuff too, probably, where they're like, I hate you, and they don't listen, and you're just like, I want to hit you. Like, there's all kinds of stuff where you're like, I am not handling this well, and I don't know how, and there's no guidebook. But then all the good stuff, I mean, I'm at a point now, I might have said this on the Patreon, where I'm trying to think of negatives to kind of like put the brakes on it a little bit so that I don't do it too soon. My dad told me this over Christmas, where he's like, it's so great that you want kids. He's like, but just like, know that when you have a kid, that's everything now. Like, that is your first priority. And just talking to him about how scary it was when we were growing up and how it's still scary. I mean, I get scared when my sisters take road trips. And so now I'm going to be afraid of this thing that, like, will legitimately die if I don't watch it all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Like, the anxiety of having a kid is what discourages me the most, probably. Wow. Or makes me want to put it off.
And it's crazy. Like, the fact that you're so sure makes me feel like I shouldn't. Because I'm not that sure, like the way that you are sure. It's like, should I feel that way? I should probably feel that way.
I don't think there's any should.
I should probably be all in before I do it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it might just not be your time that you feel that way. Maybe you'll feel that way in a few years, maybe you won't. But I was going to say, my the woman who does my spray tan, she had her first kid at 36, I believe. And we were talking about, like, again, the pros and cons of waiting later, doing it sooner. And she was like, oh my God, wait, just wait. Because I had it over 35, they ran so many extra tests on me for free. Like, it was just covered because I was a little bit older. And she's like, I had like a great pregnancy and such a good experience. I felt so like monitored and taken care of. Whereas if you do it younger before that, they just kind of like assume in a lot of ways that you're going to be fine. But because she's technically higher risk, they ran a bunch of extra tests. And she just was like, yeah, they don't tell you that, but that's a cool perk of doing it later. I was like, oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, 22, they just roll you into a tent. Get on all fours.
Push them out. Those young kids. Kegels you get.
And you wouldn't know. I would have never thought about that, but that makes so much sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've talked to women too. I talked to a woman who was very like, she had her kids, she was in her 40s, and she had had them like mid to late 30s, and she goes, oh, just wait. She's like, she might have had them at 40, but she was like, oh, just, it's so easy to have a baby later, like, it's fine. Like, which I was like, okay, well, you've been a dancer for 20 years, you're in very good shape.
Like, but it might also not be wasn't the whole wasn't the whole higher risk after 35, didn't that end up being like a myth from a very, very old study done?
Is that a myth?
Yeah, like, it's not as big of a risk as we're all super concerned about.
Really?
Like, you can have them later and it's okay. We'd have to do a little bit more research, but I know it's been a topic, I think, even in the Self-Helpless podcast group, and people have linked articles to like, that was that data is not even relevant anymore. And yes, there's like, there's risks for I think, you know, autism and stuff like that. Those are pretty real. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it's as big of a scare as our society makes us believe.
Is over 40 more of a risk?
Probably. It's probably more like that instead of 35. I'm not, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to, you know, give any misinformation, but I don't
think nobody get mad at us.
As
we're
crazy.
Just like you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. There's obviously risk as far as I think autism, and then over 40 is higher, but I don't think it's like, they really have like scared us into doing it before 35. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's that big of a difference. I think that's basically what the information is saying. It's okay, you know. There's another great podcast episode that we kind of referenced on the Patreon episode about this couple who again, I just like searched, should I have kids, should I not have kids, having kids versus not having kids, and all these episodes came up that were really helpful. And this couple actually sat down and talked to each other about what a day-to-day would be like if they had a kid.
Oh.
And I thought that was so useful and practical. And they really went like in it, like had an entire routine. Okay, if we had a kid right now, at this time, who would be doing this? At this time, who would be doing this?
Oh.
I wouldn't be getting up in the middle of the night because I have to be at work at 5. So what would you be, you know? And it was, they just went back and forth and like really discussed it like it was happening. And they figured out, okay, this would leave this much time for you and I time during the day. This would leave this much time for this or whatever. They tried to like make a schedule as if the kid was like already born. And I thought like that was really smart. And of course things will change, you know, having a kid, your priorities change. So of course they're thinking, they're coming at it from the priorities of people who don't have a child.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting. And then they decided not to have kids. Because they love their work, they love their alone time with each other, and I think they're in business together, and they're like really excited about where it's going, and like their business is kind of like their baby. Yeah, and
that's
I'm like,
great idea.
I think that's such a good idea. It's like because a lot of that practical stuff you don't even talk about till it's there,
yeah,
and then you're figuring it out. I'm like, shit. We should be talking about this ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Would I be home? Would it be in childcare? Would it? You know what happens at 5 p.m. Is it dinner time or do you do what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah. Wow, that's such a good idea.
Just I'm go through a day to day. Go through like a Monday through Sunday routine that you think would be happening, or like how a kid would fit into your current life right now, that you things that you really want to enjoy and how to keep it around. Should we talk about this like happiness situation?
Yeah, sure, we're after.
Oh, okay. Just a couple things. I just think it's very interesting. Okay. All right. Consequences of raising a child. Research has investigated the link between having children and parental happiness. Initial work suggested that child rearing exacts a toll on parental happiness. Spouses who raise children appear less happy than childless spouses. Overall, these studies reported that parents experience greater anxiety, depression, and marriage dissatisfaction than spouses without children. Oof. In fact, one study ranked the enjoyment of daily activities and found that child care was only slightly more enjoyable than housework or commuting to work.
Yikes.
Oh boy, we're really ending this episode off.
I know. I just thought it was interesting. And obviously, this is, you got to check the sources of all these studies and stuff. But yeah, basically, there's been a reported happiness deficit for parents.
But I'm sure there are studies that say the opposite.
Of course,
right?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'll just kind of look into it.
And also, I mean, I feel like the majority of couples have kids, right? Like long-term couples, the majority.
So
you have to think the people who don't have kids are usually younger and they haven't been together as long.
Good point.
And the longer you're together, kids or not,
and probably a smaller population don't have them versus do. So it's just, I thought that was interesting.
This is me arguing against it because I want us all to have babies together.
Can we end with a really funny thing my niece just said to Kane's sister, my sister-in-law, she has a six-year-old daughter, and they recently had to put their family cat down.
Aww.
And you know, they like told my niece, and you know, the parents were kind of crying in the car, and my niece was like, I know this is really sad, but do you guys want to know another really sad thing? And they're like, sure. And she goes, every boy at school wants to be with me, and and I don't know who to choose. And my sister-in-law was like, I don't think that's sad. I think it sounds like your life is pretty dope. And she's like, no, it is sad. And I think that like those are the times where I hear about people having kids, and I'm like, God, that sounds like fun to have such a funny little person walking around saying things like that that they don't realize are hilarious.
Right.
And just, you know, you can't make that.
Like,
you can only get that with the kids.
I'll probably end up with 12 kids.
I know.
I don't know.
After that story, that's all it took. Oh, my God.
But either way, it's like, it's your choice. So, you know, let's not be dicks about it to each other. Yeah. Like, you know, just accept that whoever is having kids, great. And whoever's not, great.
Yeah.
Who the hell cares?
Yeah. All right. Well, you guys, we are so close to cracking 1,000 5-star ratings on iTunes.
Sweet.
I think we are at 962 right now.
Nice.
So if you haven't left Self Helpless a 5-star rating and review on iTunes yet, just take 2 seconds. You don't have to leave a review if you don't want. If you got an extra minute, we would really appreciate you leaving a sweet sentence. But even just taking time to click that 5th star helps a ton. And that way we can move up the charts and people can see us and become fans of the show.
Yeah. Yay.
You guys are the best.
Love
you. Do we do live dates or anything?
Do you have anything to plug?
Anything? When does this come out? This comes out Monday.
This comes out on Monday the 14th. I have some dates in February I want to let people know about. February 7th through the 9th, I'll be at the Parlor in Bellevue, Washington. And then the following weekend, I will be at the Comedy Underground in Seattle. So for my Seattle area folks, anybody over there, there's going to be lots of chances to see me. I'll be headlining on Thursday, the 7th. And then I'll be headlining 15th through the 17th. So go to my website, kelseycook.com. Those dates are up there, and grab some tickets.
Nice. And then I am at the Addison Improv. So that's Texas, everybody, January 17th through the 20th. And then I'm at the Tempe Improv in Arizona, January 31st to February 2nd. And Valentine's Day weekend, 14th through the 16th, I am at Helium in Portland.
Yay.
So come to those.
Yeah, and at DelaneyFisher.com, you can watch Love at First Cousin. And DicksByDelaney.com, you can order some dick mugs.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Awesome. Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, we love you guys so much. To continue to support Self Helpless Podcast, go to selfhelplesspodcast.com for anything and everything you could want. We have our links to Patreon, merch, our individual websites, our Facebook group, Amazon link, full episodes, also our contact for our P.O. box and email. And you can follow Self Helpless Podcast on Instagram, as well as us individually. I am at T-Tom Comedy or Taylor Tomlinson, depending on if you're on Instagram or Twitter, ttomcomedy.com.
And I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, and kelseycook.com for tour dates.
And I'm at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and at Dicks by Delaney for some good old-fashioned dick stuff on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. And you can also follow Self Helpless on Facebook.
Great. Yay.
Thanks, guys.
Yay, we love you.
Why won't it let me be?